way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Amen. Is that who he is today? Amen. Always. I feel like we're a little sluggish this morning. Are we doing okay? We're doing all right, everybody? Okay. All right, good. Because this is who he is. He's our way maker. He is our light in the darkness. And he truly is our promise keeper. And it's something that we just have to hold on to beyond just those promises and those words, that we actually hold on to him, because he is more than all of that. And I hope that you are getting a sense that this God that we serve, this Lord that we love, this King that we worship is much bigger than we can imagine. And I hope that your love for him continues to grow and get stronger and deeper. But I'm glad you're here today. So glad. So welcome. Welcome to Living Hope Wesleyan Church. It's a joy to worship with you. I love just sitting, actually I'm standing, and listening to you guys sing, because you really bring it. So thank you so much for doing so. Couple of things that we just want to remind you about as we get going for today. We have a QR code that is kind of our thing, that you scan it with your phone and lets us know that you are here. Fill out a couple of things, and it's just a great way for us to connect. They are in other places throughout the church as well, and so you can do that at any point in time. Connect with us over the socials. We've got a variety of those things. We utilize Facebook quite a bit, but we also have Instagram and Twitter, and we have a YouTube channel that keeps getting updated as well. So check those things out. We also have every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 a.m. a great hour, or great half an hour, of prayer. Would love for you to join us on that. We do it on Zoom, and right there is the connection time for you there. If you have any questions about that, I'd love to answer those for you. But really, it is about a half an hour of prayer. And we're praying for the things of the church, the things that are happening, the things that we all need to be concerned about, especially our spiritual lives and things of that nature. And then, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 a.m. It's a big deal, but it's not you can just be there and pray, and that's cool. The other thing is that we have ways of tithing here at Living Hope. We can do it online. You have a box in the back that you can put your offerings in, or you can mail them in. That is just fine as well. You've heard us talk about it for the last couple of weeks, but there is a group opportunity for you to go to a Cedar Rapids Colonels game on June 16th. That's this coming Friday. And if you have any questions about that, Tom Kenchlow is right there. You can ask him. We couldn't find him last week, but we found him today, and he is right there. So if you have any questions about that, take care of that today, because it's happening this week, and so we want you to not miss out. We got some rain last night, and that benefits us in lots of ways, but one of the biggest ways is our garden that is right out that way. And the garden is growing, and as you've heard me say for the last couple of weeks, the biggest thing that we need right now is we need someone that would be willing to help organize distribution. That's where I am landing at, because we've got lots of people that are volunteering to water and to plant and to do other things, but we need someone that might be interested in organizing the distribution process, because we are growing these vegetables not for our own liking. Even though we might like them and we might want to munch on a few tomatoes here and there, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it to bless our community, to be outside, to meet people, talk to them, let them know that we love them, right? And bless them with some free veggies, no strings attached, and maybe they can make some salsa. Who knows? We're just going to bless them. But we need to be able to have someone that would be willing to help organize. And that's the biggest need that we need in that area. Did you know that today, today, of all days, we have some middle school students that are going to camp. And we're excited about that, because when they go to camp, they get to experience God in a different way, in a unique way, away from their families, away from their home, but they get to go and enjoy it at camp. And so we're going to take some time to pray for those that are going. Not all of them are here at this moment, but we are going to pray for them. And I'm going to invite you to be praying for them every day this week. At 10:17 a.m., okay? Set an alarm for 10:17, and that is your time to pray for them. And I'm making that up, everybody. I'm not requiring you to pray for them at 10:17. But maybe this week you would figure out a time that you would be praying for these kids every day. Maybe multiple times a day, because God moves in great ways when we devote our time to Him. And that's what these kids are going to be experiencing, that they're going to be devoted, fully, completely devoted to their interactions with God this week. And we want to hold them up in prayer, okay? So you figure it out. You set an alarm. But you pray for them, and we're going to pray for them in like about three shakes. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for these kids, but we're also going to pray for some other requests and things of that nature. And let's just go before the Lord in prayer this morning, okay? All right. Father God, we are so amazed at your grace and your mercy, your truth, and the ways in which you communicate to us. And so we are just amazed at who you are, God. So thank you for that. Thank you that we have an opportunity to come before you and to worship you, to spend some time in singing praises, to spend some time in prayer, and then to have your word spoken. God, you work miracles in amazing ways, and you've done so in our lives and in ways that we can barely even imagine. And sometimes we can't even communicate what you've done. And sometimes, many times, God, we don't even recognize because sometimes we're just blind. Help our eyes to see, to know how you're moving. Help us to be aware of your thumbprints on our lives, on the course of our life. And just help us to know that you are alive and well and active. We know you are. We know that. But sometimes we just need to see. And so, God, would you please do that? God, today, kids from all over Minnesota and Iowa are going to be gathering at Cedar Springs Camp, and they're going to embark on a journey of what it means to follow you, to be bold in their relationship. And, God, we not only pray for the kids that are from Living Hope that are going, we're praying for all these kids, that when they show up, that not only will they just have a great experience, but they will have a sweet, especially sweet time with you. Pray that you would stretch their spiritual muscles to help them to know you and to experience you in great ways. We do pray, Lord, that they have an amazing week, but we also just know that what happens spiritually can really set them up for their future. And so, God, we pray for Josh and Jeremiah and Seth and Kyson and their friend Chase and Nevaeh. God, we know, Lord, that you are going to utilize this camp in great ways. So speak to their hearts this week. Speak to their minds. Help them to take the one of the most difficult journeys in our lives that begins in our head and leads to our heart. Help them to just be able to get beyond the head knowledge, but to the heart knowledge in their relationship with you. We pray for the leaders that are going to be there, that are going to be discipling them. We pray for the directors and the many things and the organizational side of it that needs to happen. But even more than that, God, will you just let your spirit fall on that place in a heavy way? Help it to be palpable and to be realized in everything that they do. God, this week we pray specifically for Erica and a procedure that's taking place tomorrow. Lord, will you just be in the entire process of what's going on tomorrow? You are a great God that loves, that sees, that knows, and you know what needs to happen tomorrow. And so we pray for a successful procedure. We pray for just your hand of healing upon her body. And so, God, we also just know that many of our hearts are burdened by different things that will be going on this week. Some of us are dealing with grief and difficulties with our bodies and other things. And God, we just ask that your hand of mercy would be upon us, that it would fill us with your presence, and that we would be able to live our lives to glorify you this week. So thank you, God. Thank you for that, for your word and your truth. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we have been kind of talking about this thing called one another. And I'm going to leave this slide up there because I know that for some people it's really distracting, and we're just going to let it be distracting for a little bit. Then we'll move on to some others. But all the fun squigglies, I've been told that don't leave that up there because they get too distracted and they can't concentrate. So we're just going to let it sit. No, I'm just kidding. We'll move on. We spent the last couple of weeks doing a variety of things, but we've been focusing on the impact of this phrase, one another. What does one another mean? How does it imply? What are some phrases throughout the Bible that have this idea of one another? We talked about how we can spur one another on, and we know that we have this responsibility to benefit, to help one another. And then we looked at what it means to encourage one another, how to really lift someone else up and do it in a way that we're kind of building them up behind their back, kind of just pushing them forward so that they may grow, they may be benefit by just our interactions, but then also spiritually. And then last week we talked about what it means to bear with one another. And that idea of bearing with one another involves a lot of relationship. And so when we're dealing with this one another, we're really focusing in on the horizontal relationship that exists within the body of Christ. We talk a lot about this vertical relationship. We're imagining the cross here now, okay? This vertical one that we have with God, between us and God. But during this sermon series, we're looking at the horizontal relationship. Because of the impact of the vertical one, how do we interact with the horizontal one? And how do you and me, how do we impact one another? How do we build each other up? And we're really talking about this sermon series as a way that we build up the body of believers. This is not necessarily a sermon series that is focused on outside of the body of believers. We're really talking about each other on the inside. Now, that doesn't mean, now please understand, that doesn't mean that we don't interact with other people that aren't believers in Jesus, okay? We absolutely should, but this is more for each other than it is for outside just yet. Is everybody with me on that, okay? We're all understanding, we're getting it. Excellent. I heard like two people saying, yep, they got it. But I'll take a few head nods too. A little bit? Okay. All right. Good. Okay. So today we're dealing with a passage that has more one another phrases than any other passage that we'll be working through in this series. Now, something I want you to be aware of is that when we're dealing with these one another's, we've got like three of them that we're going to be kind of tackling today, and we're going to be dealing with a passage that has, back it up. You're giving it away. There we go. We'll get there. Because we're dealing with a couple of them, okay, I want you to catch that there is some other practical things within this passage of scripture that complement the one another's within this passage, okay? They're practical, and they're things that we can actually put in place today that will impact our one another interactions, okay? So don't miss out on them. Don't just ignore the other good things within this passage of scripture because you're focused on the one another's. And the one another's are important, but that's not what we're all about. We want to get all the practical stuff out of this passage. Okay, so here's the reason why. Because this thing that we call life with Christ and life with others matters. And so if we can change a little bit of behavior in ourselves and we can put some other things in place, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's make sure that we're interacting well. Are we all on the same page? Are you ready for the passage of scripture today? Fantastic. Romans chapter 12. You can open up your Bibles if you want to. If you didn't bring your Bible, but you got your cell phone, you can bring that out too and use the Bible app. Or you can just follow along. That's fine. We're okay with that. I don't think I need any more sips of coffee, but we'll be all right. So Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. We kept on going to verse 16. Huh, that's awesome. Paul, in this passage, is being really practical, laying down some practical teaching points that really help us with these interpersonal relationships that we're talking with. As you can see, things such as never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Those are things that we can practically do now. Simply, practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow, there's some good stuff in there. But we're going to begin at verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Okay, so being devoted to in brotherly love is represented as a unique bond. And interestingly enough, the way that we talk about devoted actually has within it in the Greek, it kind of takes us to another word that helps us to understand this type of relationship. And it's kind of like a parent-child relationship, a parent-child type of love. Even though we get to brotherly love in just a little bit, we're dealing with in devoted to be utilized as kindly affectionate, wrapped in brotherly love. So you're kindly affectionate with some brotherly love wrapped in. So this is a familial type of love. Say familial with me. Awesome. I just wanted to hear you say it because I was having a hard time saying it throughout this week. Familial type of love. It's a family type of dynamics. And so you want to be able to have that type of love. You are born into one family, your biological family. And when you find yourself in the body of Christ, you are born again into a second family, and you have another family to turn to when things go bad. You have another family to run to when you're in need, and you have another family to depend on in your life, and that is the body of Christ. So we are devoted to one another in brotherly love because of our common bond in Christ. We can be family to one another. Now, I've heard it many times that you Maybe it is you, and you've described that your church family meets many more of your needs than maybe your external, your biological family, because maybe they're far away or they're in different parts of the country or something along those lines. You still love your family, but because of the body of Christ, you are a family and you're getting needs that are met because of your relationships here. And that is an amazing thing. And I'm sure that you have probably experienced that. Just this week, we memorialized, we remembered a member of our church body that truly Living Hope was his family in the life of Barry Bell. And so when we have that type of relationship because of the body of Christ, we have double family. And that's an amazing thing to have. When you're a part of the body of Christ, your family grows. It's bigger because of every person in the room that confesses the name of Jesus. It's a part of the body. They are your brother. They are your sister. And so we are devoted. We have a familial type of love for one another. We care for one another deeply. And then Paul jumps right into the next one and he says, honor one another above yourselves. Paul's getting serious here and he's saying, put others first. Let them get the credit. Or actually give others credit for what they do or what they did. Honor others. How good are we at honoring others? Sometimes we're not very good at it. Sometimes we're really good at it because we don't want the attention. I don't know if you're like me, but I like to not get a whole lot of attention. Yes, I speak for a living in front of a group of people, but sometimes I would rather not be up front. Sometimes it's awesome to be in the back. Any back room workers, okay? Those guys that sit in the back right over there, they're kind of the back room people right there. Did you know that we have a lot of opportunities for back room workers? Things that get done that nobody really recognizes, but when it doesn't get done, you recognize it. That's kind of what that is, but it's about honoring them. So let's get better at honoring some of the things that are done behind the scenes. But here's really where I really want to challenge you in this is that when we talk about honoring one another, we're realizing something about each other that we have to understand that each of us are invaluable and irreplaceable. In order for us to really honor someone, we have to know that each person is irreplaceable and invaluable, not irrevaluable. Irreplaceable and invaluable. And so here's what I mean by this. You are irreplaceable because there is no one like you. There's not another you and there never will be. You are uniquely made. So is the person sitting next to you. No one can worship God like you or for you. And God loves you. You are irreplaceable. God loves you uniquely. He loves you and he loves everyone else, but he loves you uniquely. Think about your parents. They loved you and your siblings like the same because they told you that you were loved just like your brother or sister, right? They would never say that they had a favorite, but they love you uniquely. And they love your sister or your brother uniquely. God loves you the same, but he loves you uniquely because it is you. You are unique. There never has been and there never will be another you, and you are irreplaceable. And when we understand that, we can honor others really well. We also need to remember that we are invaluable. Jesus talks about the person that gains the whole world but loses their soul. They haven't gauged their invaluableness to God. That in our understanding of who God is that we are invaluable, cannot be measured. And when we know that we have this view in God's eyes, we wouldn't want to gain the whole world. We would only want to gain him. It's hard for us to understand sometimes because in our world, in our free society market like we have, the value of something is determined by how much we are willing to pay for it. So we set value by how much something is according to you and to me. Now, something that I might see as really valuable, you might see as not very valuable. Like in my office, I have a number of things that I just think are important and valuable. One thing that in your eyes would be the least valuable thing is a tiny little football that's white and it's got some scribbling on it. Lucas knows how valuable this thing is to me. It's worth a little bit in my mind. But one time he was playing with it in my office. I'm like, dude, you can't play with that. Put that back. What? It's just a football. And I'm exaggerating here, okay? All right? Because that's not Lucas at all. All right? I'm sorry, dude. You're getting picked on this morning. I don't know why, but you are. And he puts the football back. Well, here's why this football to him is just a little tiny football. It's foam and it's squishy and you can toss it. To him, it's just that. But to me, it was a precious gift. A friend gave me this football because he visited a church in Washington, D.C., and they were giving these out, and it was signed by one of my favorite Christian authors named Mark Batterson. And he brought it to me from their vacation. That, to me, has some value. To the rest of you, if you don't know who Mark Batterson is, it's worthless. It's like a dollar worth of things, right? But to me, it's valuable. To you, you are the most valuable person on the planet because Jesus saw you and died for you. He deemed you incredibly valuable. So much so that Jesus and his death and sacrifice would look upon you and say, you matter. God and the sacrifice of his son deemed you as valuable. The ultimate price was paid for you. The ultimate price was paid for the person that you like the least. Jesus died for them too. And the value on humanity can't be calculated. In God's eyes, it is worth it. And sometimes we need to be reminded that we are valuable. And when we understand our own invaluable nature, we will put that on others because we'll recognize that they are just as valuable in God's eyes as we are. And then we will do better at honoring those. And for us today, for our conversation, it's not about who you are, but it is about whose you are. Our value is set by Christ on the cross. Christ at the cross, that you are worth dying for. Interestingly enough, our value is doubled in its perspective because through creation alone, we belong to God. But then through the virtue of redemption, we again belong to God. So it is a double value in the sense that we look at the importance and the valuable nature of it. This reminds us of our value in the eyes of God and the changing perspective and how we see others as well. So when we're talking about this idea of honoring one another above ourselves, it is that we are setting the value of another person, their irreplaceable and their invaluable measure upon them, so that we would honor one another because they are important to God. Let's keep on cruising. The next one is bless and do not curse. This is just a real quick thought on this one, is that when we talk about this idea of bless and do not curse, we are supposed to understand that when we talk about blessing from a human perspective, this is where we get the idea of a eulogy or to eulogize, and that is to speak about someone in blessing words. To bless someone is to speak about them as if we are bragging about them behind their back. And to actually, this is the idea behind this word is a present imperative verb, which means to do it in a constant state of blessing. So it's not about cursing, but blessing. And we are to do that constantly. That's what Paul is trying to get to in this, is that we do it constantly. Finally, we talk about live in harmony. Have you ever thought about the heartbreak that God feels when his people are fighting? Not just in creation and people, but in his church. Have you ever thought about how heartbreaking God is when people are fighting? Heartbroken, that's the word I was looking for. Sometimes we're fighting with one another so much that we can't fight the enemy that we truly have. Let that sink in for just a moment. Sometimes we're fighting so much that we can't fight the one enemy that we truly have. That should break our heart. I know it breaks God's. Now, I don't know a lot about music, just so you know. Hopefully you knew that already. I know very little about music. I learn different things from my family because they're more musically inclined than I am. So they teach me things all the time, and I hear things all the time when I'm sitting up in the sound booth listening to the worship team talk about different stuff. And clueless, but I'm always trying to pick up little things here and there. But I learned that basic, okay? Reminder, basic, okay, with me. Everybody say basic. Basic ideas of music is that the combination of notes that complement each other is harmony. Am I good so far? Okay, Lucas is shaking his hands and giving me a thumbs up. That's awesome. And I can't catch harmony, like, at all. I can tell when something sounds good, but I don't know why it's happening. I don't know why that vocalist is doing that to hit that note and the other one hitting this note and that one, and it just sounds great. I know when that happens, but I don't know how it happens. And I've been told that when it's happening, it's awesome. And when it doesn't happen, everybody notices. Have you ever heard that? I don't know. But the idea is that when we live in harmony, we live in a complementary type of way. We live in a complementary way with one another, and that's what harmony does in vocalists, where they complement one another to make the music beautiful. You and I are to live in harmony with one another. You and I are supposed to live in such a way that your gifts complement mine and my gifts complement yours. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, lists out many of the spiritual gifts, and when these gifts get put into play, a beautiful harmony, so to speak, is lived out for the kingdom of God. And along those same lines, when we are devoted to one another, when we honor one another, when we live in harmony with one another, we together are working for a beautiful complementary picture of the kingdom of God that advances and moves. And when your gifts and my gifts are working together, we have this beautiful harmony of the kingdom advancing. Notice that it's not about competing. It's not about one of us working really hard and another one that is fighting against it. It is a complementary type of work. So we have leaders. Let's just look at the list in chapter 12, okay? Romans chapter 12. I don't have it on the screen for you, but we'll find it. Maybe I already have it picked up. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So all of these gifts just fit within the harmony of the church. And this isn't the only set. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 12, and there's others that are there that we can fall into that lists out these spiritual gifts, and we are to utilize them for the good of the church in harmony, complementing one another. And we need all of the spiritual gifts to be lived out in the body. And that is what Paul is talking about. We live in harmony with one another, building each other up for the good of the kingdom. Now, the question that I have for all of this is why? Why do you think Paul spends so much time talking about these one another's in this passage of scripture? I think it all goes back to chapter 12, verse 1. And I closed my Bible, and I should have left it open because I knew I was coming back to it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul begins this whole section with this phrase, but I want to keep on going. So listen to this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the part that I don't want you to miss is the very first part. In view of God's mercy. We know the rest of that verse, right? In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We know the rest of that verse, and that verse is probably one that many of us has memorized and really attempt to work out. And we understand verse 2 that says, don't conform any longer. But it all begins with in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. We have failed thousands of times, but his mercy remains. And that's the key in all of this. It's understanding the mercy of God, that through the mercy of God, he has shown us that the ground at the foot of the cross is level, that there is nothing that we can do that can get God's good graces. Not anything that you or I do can receive God's good graces. There's nothing, but we keep living as if we are completely 99% okay with relying on the mercy of God, as long as we get that 1% so that our actions account for something, that we have had a hand in something. But Isaiah reminds us that our righteousness is compared to filthy rags. It is only by the mercy of God and alone that mercy that we can stand before God. The mercy of God paid for it all at the cross. That is why we are devoted to one another. That is why that we honor one another. That is why we bless and we don't curse. That is why that we practice hospitality. That is why we're faithful in prayer. That is why we don't we bless those that persecute us. That is why we live in harmony with one another. That is why we are not proud, but we are willing to associate with people of low position. That is why we do all of this, because of God's mercy, not anything that you or I do. And so it's in view of God's mercy. That is where we begin, and that is where we live at. Being a kid that played a lot of baseball when he was growing up, we were always encouraged to find our dominant eye. You ever done any of that before? You're an athlete of some sort. You had to figure out what was your dominant eye, or maybe it was just some other exercises that you had to figure out for work or for artistic developments or things like that. And so we would do this in a baseball way. We would be sitting or standing or something like that, and we'd find the foul pole, because foul pole was always straight up and down, right? Yep. Okay. So you would put your finger out and you would line your finger up with the foul pole. Okay. And then you would close one eye. And if the finger was still on the foul pole, then maybe you're okay. Then if you close the other eye and the finger moved, then you figured out which dominant eye. Everybody with me so far? Okay. I always struggle with this because I have unique eyeballs, and it's a long story and I won't go into it, but I can adjust the way in which I'm looking on something depending on the way that my eyes are working, because they don't work together. And so all of you, when your eyes work together, you can get right in the middle. Mine don't work together. They work one or the other. And so I was always changing which eye was dominant, which eye was not dominant. And coaches were always wondering, what are you seeing? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just seeing. And it was hilarious. But I figured out how to beat the system, okay? I knew that my right eye was dominant, so I would always do that, and so I always knew that I needed to bat right-handed. Anyways, for us, the idea is that we need to have a view of God's mercy, and so we need to have a dominant eye that we are looking at God's mercy through and not through our non-dominant eye. We need to be focusing in and view God's mercy with that dominating eye, and that is through the power of God and the word that we know to be true, and focus on that first and foremost, so that we are always remaining and having God's mercy in view. Okay? Now I realize that the analogy, you're covering it up, but you're focusing in on the dominant thing in the horizon. And that dominant thing in the horizon is God's mercy. Begin there. begin there because it sets everything else up. Does that make sense now? Fantastic. So in view of God's great mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. When that is our perspective, we will be able to benefit one another, lift each other up, and help one another grow in their relationship to God. That's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. Let's pray, and then we'll close out our time with worship. Father God, we are so very grateful for your grace and your mercy. So very blessed to be able to walk in our relationship with you, knowing, God, that you are the one that draws us close to you. And it is by your great mercy, that we can have that relationship with you that we so desire. That you paid the price. It is not by anything that we do. Lord, it's not the things that we think that we can accomplish that builds that relationship with you. It is by your great mercy. You saw us, recognized that we are valuable and irreplaceable. And because of your great love for us, we can have a relationship with you. Thank you, God. Help us this week to live our lives to glorify you as a response to your mercy. Help us to live in harmony for the kingdom, to make beautiful music for others to see and experience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us at worship today. Let's stand and we'll close out our time together with singing.